Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Welcome to WFHR's Morning Show. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production and co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. We're all together. We're here to have some fun, middle of the week on a Wednesday. We got good things lined up for you, everybody, we're going to be getting into, too. We're going to have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. Looking forward to getting into that. We have the top heat wave questions Americans are Googling-er.
Googling-er?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get that
I don't up. Care if that's not a word. I love it. Just keep using it, man.
We're looking to that. We have America's favorite city. Might be surprising to some.
Okay.
Get Wisconsin into, Rapids.
There we go. There you already got it done. We'll get into some entertainment news at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Got some local stuff want to touch on there as well. We'll also got a fun one lined up in the 10 o'clock. What is a profession that was once highly respected, but now not as much?
Interesting.
And a great article that Melissa sent over about four-day work weeks from Gizmodo. I want to get into that.
Just came out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's get back on it. Love it.
Going to get into that. But we start off we kick things off with accents. Accents.
Oh, okay. All right.
One of the more, I think, wonderful things about human beings. I genuinely mean that. I think that accents are fun. They're different. They can vary not only between country to country, from state to state, but even households.
That's very true.
I know growing up, I had an uncle that had a very stereotypical Chicago accent, and he was the only one.
Somehow, he's the only one that ended up with it.
Only one. I think one of the funnest things about accents is when you go to a completely like when I went out to California and I everybody knew I was not from California, like the moment I talked. Yes. And I never,
like, once you realize you have a Midwestern accent.
Yeah. And while I've moved around a lot, and to the point where when I first moved to Wisconsin, my S's and Z's I said very Chicagoan, and they thought I had a speech impediment. And so taking speech classes for it and stuff like this. So many different things that accents do, and they are. And I think a fun thing is kind of looking at what our favorite ones are. We've got a survey here. Okay. Do you guys have an accent that is, it doesn't even have to be your favorite, but just one that comes to mind when I bring up accents?
Yeah, actually, I have one, and it's a very distinctive one, as a matter of fact. Charleston, South Carolina has its own accent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a hard, it's not like Georgia, like that really thick southern drawl kind of thing. It's there, but it's a lot lighter, and it almost sounds like an English accent.
Mm.
And I think that is what, like, English people sounded like back, 200, 250 years ago, whatever it was, when we were still a colony of England. And that's kind of like, that's the closest to what the accent was back then, I think. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a very melodic and very cool sounding accent. I love it. It's from Charleston talking.
It's a strong one, too, where my aunt and uncle, when they moved out there, my cousin lived with them for the first couple of months and everything. And we're talking on the phone, and I don't even recognize her because she's already got the accent. It's a good one. That's a good one. I haven't thought of it until you said it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic accent.
Yeah, I love listening to people talk that have accents. I have so many favorites. Scottish, Irish. I can't do those. But of course, British, but Australian. And when I was trying to talk with an Australian accent, I thought of it as an English accent with a southern twang.
It's not a bad way of looking at it.
I like that.
Because it kind of is English, but it's also its own thing. Yep. And it's just like us here in the Midwest, we have an accent, but if you head south, it's still, an American accent, but it's got a twang to it.
Right.
I love when I'm watching a TV show and it's an American TV show and they're speaking English, but they still have to put subtitles on it because nobody can understand. And that could be a many different accents.
Right. But that are very hard to get. Yes, exactly.
So I wanted to start this from a world perspective, but now we zoom in a little bit to our own United States and our favorite accents in the colonies here and everything. And there's a new list of the most beloved, loved regional accents across America.
Okay.
And I think that it's not too surprising, while at the same time, I think that it is a little surprising. It got some surprises in it. So we'll go through this list, and it is in order, so we'll start at 10. How's that sound?
All right,
start at number
10.
Good.
The Philly accent, 20%. 20.2% love the Philadelphian accent. Those 20% are from Philly.
No, it's your traditional Eastern, you know, East Coast accent, but not as hard as like New York. It's a little softer. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or New Jersey for that matter, because it's just south of Jersey and all that. So yeah.
To that point, and number 9, the Staten Island accent is at 21.8%. Which is very New York. Very New York. It's so New York that other New Yorkers don't always understand people from Staten Island.
It's so weird, too.
Yeah.
Like, almost all of the different boroughs of New York have, like, almost a little variation on their accent. It's very strange.
It's like that in England, too.
Yes.
Very true,
where,
yes.
The different areas. And I love that there are people out there who can identify where you're from based on that accent.
Yeah.
It fascinates me. I love it.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, that is one of the cooler, yes. Yep. It's one of the funner and also difficult things about learning an English accent is when you realize, are you doing the right one? Yeah.
Are you from Cheshireshire?
Or are you from Wales?
Oh my gosh, Wales.
Oh, yeah. My favorite's Manchester. I love the Manchester accent, yes.
Okay. That's a good one.
Welsh is really, really hard
to
understand.
Oh my gosh, yeah, yeah. At number 8, a tie between Louisiana accent and the New England accent at 22.6%.
Wow, those are very different from each other, too.
Yeah.
Louisiana. Well, the Cajun accent from Louisiana. I love that
from the
one.
Bayou.
Yes.
There are a few accents I like more than that.
It's Southern, but it's got a hard, I don't know what to call it, though. It's not even a twang. It's hard to describe.
It's relaxed. It flows. Yeah. There's definitely a rhythm to
it.
That's
musical.
Different than other. Yeah. Yes.
It's a very musical accent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I find we'll get to this more in a moment. But
of course, New England, Pepperidge Farm remembers, you know, which is very clipped. Yeah.
Very clipped. Yes. It feels like they've edited the word, like the breaths out or something.
It's staccato music.
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Yeah. Yeah. At 7, a tie between the Boston accent and the High Tider accent.
The High Tider accent?
High Tider accent.
I am curious.
Now, that is a sailor, I believe. The High Tider accent is a dialect of American English spoken only to remote islands in North Carolina's Outer Banks.
Oh, really?
The unique accent is a vocabulary developed over hundreds of years as a result of the area's isolation.
I don't know if I've ever heard that accent before. I want to hear it now. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm looking that one up.
I want to hear someone that's
bookmarking this.
That's from there, yeah.
I will see if I can get that in there or not.
But we know Boston, right? Yeah. The old Southie accent. Yeah.
The Ka and the Ha, but Yod.
It's one of the.
By the Garden.
It's a fun one to say. It really is.
It is.
And then at number 6, Appalachian accent.
Okay.
Yes, that one's also musical.
That's like the hillbilly accent. I mean, that's not a nice way of calling it, but that is what you'd think of, right? The
old
Mountain Dew kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeehaw! Yeah.
At number 5, the Maine accent. We hear that from Phil
Hartley.
Once in a while.
Mm-hmm. It comes out every now and then. Yeah, yeah. I have to say he's acclimated quite well to the Midwest because I know he's lived here for a while now. But but still, every now and then, a little Maine will come out, which is fun.
And then at number four, a tie between the Florida accent and the Pacific Northwest accent at 26.1%.
Literally two ends of the country.
Florida accent.
I don't know. It's probably I don't know, kind of a standard Southern accent. It's probably close to Georgia.
Yeah, I would.
In my experience, they're pretty similar. So, but that's me.
And I guess I really didn't think Florida had a Southern accent.
It depends on if you're native or not.
Right. Well,
because they have so many transplants, right? Yeah.
Right. That's such a melting pot there of.
And a lot of retirees and that kind of thing from New York and stuff. Yeah.
And at number 3, the Mississippi accent, 27.3%.
That is a thick accent.
Yeah.
It is.
That one can be hard to decipher sometimes.
And at number one, the Long Island accent at 27.8% of people have a positive reaction to it.
The Long Island one?
Didn't see that coming.
Really?
I would have had
Long Island.
Almost any Southern accent up at the top.
Right.
At the way at the top, I would have had. I would have had this completely wrong. Now, the Mississippi accent is higher, is up there, but I wouldn't have guessed that.
That's a surprise.
I'm sorry. I apologize, everybody. The Long Island accent is number two. Number two on the list.
Okay.
All right. So the number one accent is the Southern Louisiana's Cajun accent.
Oh, it's the specifically Cajun.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Nice.
There we go.
Again, I think we already covered that, but yeah. It's very musical. Yep.
They also listed the most attractive English-speaking celebrities, American and British. the three most attractive males, Theo James, The White Lotus, and he was in The Gentlemen and stuff. Hugh Laurie. They're talking about just their voices and the accent itself,
right.
Yep. Not the look of the person and everything. Although Hugh Laurie probably falls in both categories. I don't know.
He's awesome.
Yeah. He's got a great dialect.
His American accent was pretty good. Although I did hear people say that the way he had to screw up his face to make it really bothered them. He did these like twitches in his face because of it. But yeah.
But that really fit with his character.
That's true. That's very true.
And John Goodman. John Goodman gets in there. And I don't know, as a Midwesterner, I love that. I love that John Goodman makes the top three.
And also, if you listen to some of his voiceover work, mm-hmm. again, I get to mention The Emperor's New Groove.
Nicely done. Nice. He's got a great voice.
I am not a fan of his voice.
Oh, yeah.
No, I love him as an actor, absolutely. But for whatever, his voice is kind of just meh to me.
Bryan Cranston, Eddie Murphy, Andy Serkis, Tim Curry, Austin Butler, Ryan Reynolds, and Tom Hiddleston also make the list.
Ooh, some good ones on
Tim
there.
Tim Curry out of that list.
Tim Curry is very distinctive. Tom Hiddleston, too.
Female-wise, Emma Watson, Sophia Bush, and Kate Bush all make the run.
Oh, Kate Bush.
Kate Bush, wow. Yeah.
Well, her singing style is very different from most people, so yeah.
Emily Blunt, Scarlett Johansson also make it. Julie Andrews is in this list.
Oh, that's nice.
And then they're not in any order, but Jennifer Tilly and Natasha Lyonne. And two vastly different voices, but two voices I love.
Jennifer Tilly, of course, had the high-pitched, like what I call a little girl voice kind of thing, which I love. I dearly love that voice.
Yeah, without trying to sound like
No. That's just the way she sounds that way. Yeah.
And Natasha Lyonne, I mean, she's made a career out of that. Not just her voice, certainly, but her voice alone has gotten her great work. And a great voice actor, too. She's good.
Scarlett Johansson, very distinctive way of speaking.
Yes.
Along with a very distinctive voice. So, yeah, that's her. She's very one of a kind in that.
She is on the path of being one of the greats. Mm-hmm. Johansson.
Yeah.
She really is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had to look up Natasha Lyonne. I like her a lot.
Yes.
Surprisingly, I really enjoyed Russian Doll.
Oh, did you? Okay, my mom really liked it, too. Yeah, she was trying to get me to watch it. I haven't gotten a chance to because I have no time. But
you have 8,000 things to watch,
really. I heard that was a good one. Cool, good to hear. What is your favorite accent, everybody? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I think that even if you just looked at Wisconsin. You've got some different accents. Now, in the state, of course.
Yep.
But even up and down the state, I think that you have different accents. And that's a fun part of it, too. That's I think it deserves being the running for great accents.
How about Canadian? I like Canadian accent, eh? Yeah.
Canadian accents. Now, we've heard in our childhood, some comedian said horrible news has to happen, you want to hear from an English voice because it just sounds so much kinder or whatever. I've always felt that way about Canada.
Yeah,
we got to get bad news. Like, let it come from a Canadian voice. It's just going to be charming.
It just sounds better. Really
cheery and stuff, It'll be a little bit happier.
Wow. It'll make you smile.
Yeah, there was a disaster today. it was really bad.
Let me tell you there, hey. It was something. It was something there. We will be right back.
Got a hole in my radiator there.
Be back with more show coming up here at WFHR. Time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Got some great specials over there you want to check out, everybody.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. And you want to enjoy the air conditioning because they've got it today.
Nice. Going cool and eat pie. What more could you want?
Yeah, yeah, that'll cool you off.
There's not much more in life.
No,
no, no, nothing but a good time waiting for you over at El Cafe. Headed over there today, everybody.
Should we make it a rule that if it gets too at a certain temperature, everyone's going to stop working?
Just, yes.
You know, everyone,
yes.
Stop. Take a break. Everyone, mm-hmm. Just relax, mm-hmm. A little bit.
I think that's a perfect idea. We need to get that going. We need, yes, to get that going.
And plus,
right now,
you don't really want to cook at home in these temperatures.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You may as well go to El Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Head on over there today, everybody. Wish them a good one from us. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Email us info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That's right. Number is 715-424-2600, or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
We look forward to hanging out with you. Go ahead and join the conversation, everybody. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and take a look at our list. We got two possible qualifiers. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One.
All right. Gives us a qualifier. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Lou Newman.
Happy birthday, Lou.
Happy birthday, Lou.
Enjoy your day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. Have a great one. Nicely done. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Anita Wusso.
Oh, happy Anita.
Happy birthday, Anita.
Oh, yeah. Annette.
Annette
Wusso. I'm sorry. Okay. My dyslexia got it. Annette, happy birthday, Annette.
Happy birthday,
happy
Annette.
Happy birthday, Annette.
Such, yes, a beautiful name.
Mm-hmm. Head on down to the beach, Annette. Yes. Do some beach blanket bingo.
You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't
just
help
had
myself.
To do it.
No, sorry. There's not many Annettes anymore.
No,
I mean, we
got to
have fun with it.
Not many. No, that's a great name, though. That's a great one. I'd like to see that name come back. That's,
yeah, that'd be a good one. I'm with you.
Annette, you're our qualifier. Thanks so much, Derek. Mm-hmm. Everybody got us these birthdays and anniversaries. We appreciate them, everybody. We take a look at who you share your birthdays with. Neil Perry from the band Perry is 35.
Okay.
Let's see here. Oh, Daniel Radcliffe is 36. Harry Potter's 36.
Wow.
I can't believe that. Pat made me guess this morning, and I said 29, I think. I can't believe he's 36.
You were so far off. Wow.
I
mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
In the world of child actors, in the history of child actors, I don't know that there is more of a game changer than him. And I don't mean just his acting talent. He's very talented, and he's only getting better, it seems, mm-hmm, like, as he gets older. He's been, you know, been celebrated as an actor plenty, I think. It's his off-the-field stuff. It is his dedication to, you know, staying low-key. And how it's about the art. And when he's not working, he's with his friends, he's with his family, he doesn't really care about pomp and circumstance or any of these things. And the idea of that's one of the most recognizable actors and kids and characters in our lifetimes.
Right.
And no matter how old you are listening to us right now, that's there. Mm-hmm. If you're 150, it still counts. If you're 5, it counts.
Right.
And he has broken that. He's broken from that.
Yes.
There are 100 roles I've seen him in since, and I never even think about Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
It never even crosses my mind.
Remarkable achievement.
Yeah. I cannot express how difficult it is for an actor to be able to break type,
yep,
and to be able to break from a character, a good character.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a character that everybody knows, like even if you never read or saw a Harry Potter book.
You know who he is. Yeah.
You know who he is. You know what it is and everything. And yet he's been able to break all that.
Mm-hmm.
Name me the actor that's done that. I'll wait. There ain't of all the great child, and I'm not saying talent wise he's the greatest child actor of all time or anything like that. I think Shirley Temple would have some things to say. There's a lot of greats, but like Ms. Temple, as great as she was, she never was able to break away from that.
Nope.
There's so many child actors that have their careers just end right there at puberty, basically.
Or even just leave the business because they're sick of it, right?
Yeah.
Even before they become adults, right? Yeah.
He also does this wonderful thing to the paparazzi where he always wears the same shirts out because everything in that business is new,
yeah.
And if you're just getting, it doesn't look like it's a new picture of him, it's not worth anything. And I think that's masterful.
But he's like a textbook of how to handle being an extremely world famous person as a youngster, and this is, he did a fantastic job. Wow.
Yeah, he could teach a master class,
yeah,
on it. I mean, and I don't know that he really, actually, I don't know that he could, because I don't know this is something that he really set out to do.
That's true.
It just happened for him, right, in a lot of ways, and a lot of hard work.
Of course.
He got to work instantly after Harry Potter. Now, a lot of people usually take time off, or they want to have a break between them and a character so that audiences can... He just hit the ground running.
He kind of did like theater right away. Yeah, that was kind of that was an interesting turn.
He was naked on stage or whatever. The Esquit at the Horse...
Equus.
Yeah, that's what he did, yeah.
I have to recommend, though, Swiss Army Man, if you want to watch a really weird movie.
it's such a good one.
With Daniel Radcliffe in it. It's so weird.
It fits him so well, though. Yeah. He's that kind of quirky actor, for sure.
I wanted to reference Miracle Workers. It's a TV show that was on TBS. It ran for like 4 or 5 seasons. It's just a fun little comedy. It's got an amazing cast. Daniel Radcliffe, Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
And a couple of other actors that are really, really good.
They play, like angels or something like that? Yeah, right.
Each season's different. Each season they change it up a little bit and everything. And
That's great.
It's such great work. Mm. It's him and Buscemi together is really good. That's a really fun
Two one. Quirky actors together. That's great.
Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child is 46.
Wow.
Say Yes, I think she had as a solo hit. Mm-hmm. And she's had some other ones. Mm-hmm. Monica Lewinsky is 52. In the history of comeback stories, which make no mistake about it, that is something that America loves just as much as apple pie and baseball and everything else. We love a comeback story. Monica Lewinsky's was unwritten before. Mm-hmm. Nobody had made a comeback story like this young lady. Yeah. This woman has young lady, 52. I remember her as a young lady, so that's why I'm saying that. But 52, she's older than me.
we have to remember seriously the absolute hell that she was put through by the media and politicians for a young woman to be in an impossible situation. And it was disgusting the way that she was treated. It was absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Monica Lewinsky has done an amazing job. There's nothing short of everything that is about accountability that we ask for out of people, out of politicians. She's done as just a citizen. Mm-hmm. So she makes no excuses about things that went on or anything.
Right.
But what Seth is touching on, how it was handled by the media and by us, by all of us.
Go ahead, you're right.
Your hand if you were on Monica Lewinsky's side or if you felt empathy for this person at the time or anything, because I don't know anybody that did. I know that there is a handful of people out there certainly that did, but overall, the majority wise, not just the media, but as a society, we judged this person and we immediately treated her horribly. The comeback that she has made is incredible. The only thing that would make it better is if we learned from this situation.
Yeah. Because she wasn't treated like a person. She was treated like entertainment, like a character, like not human.
Yeah. I mean, she was a powerless person, you know? She had no power. And it was, everything was dumped on her. It was gross. It was absolutely gross.
You know, there's a difference of a softening of society and a smartening of society, a smarter society.
Good way of putting it.
And that's where we've gone with a lot of things. And the people that want to pull us back and drag us, that first off, that's not going to work. There's no putting the genie back in the bottle, no matter what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's no going back and renaming teams or any of these silly things that try to distract us or anything like that. And it was wrong the way we treated her then. And hopefully we have learned from it in our better, smarter society going forward. Because, again, time only goes one direction. I mean, unless somebody has a time machine out there. Time machines can't actually go forward. They say that they can only go backwards, which it's sci-fi. I don't get that. Like, I do whatever you want. It's science fiction. What are you talking about? Nomar Garciapar is 52. Only player in MLB history with the last name Garciapar.
Which is...
That's insane. That's insane. An insane stat when you think about how long baseball's been played.
At his height, was he good? Was he a hitter? Man.
Loved Garciapar.
He was great.
Man.
I loved him.
The great Catherine Hahn is 52. Recently, Agatha and Agatha All Along and WandaVision in that. Mm-hmm. She is Maya in the studio. She was in Transparent, Bad Moms, Crossing Jordan. I love Catherine Hahn.
Fabulous, funny actress. Oh, my gosh. She's so good. She's very funny.
Wonderful voice, too. Mm-hmm. Marlon Wayans is 53.
Oh, wow.
A Scary Movie, White Chicks, a bunch of other movies he's done. Great. I love Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans. Also, I just learned this recently. the first DJ on In Living Color when they started. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Jamie Foxx took over, but he was MW1 or something like that.
Yes, it was like MB1 or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
That he was just too funny. They had to put him out there. One of our favorites, Seth, and I think Melissa's as well. Allison Krauss is 54 today.
Yeah, I love Allison Krauss. Fantastic.
Decatur, Illinois' own. Mm-hmm. As Seth and I were talking about on the Sunrise Show and everything, and you were looking up off air, one of the top Grammy winners of all time.
She's fourth all time. Wow. She's won 27 Grammys in her career.
She absolutely deserved every single one.
She is amazing.
Yeah.
And her band with, I shouldn't say her band, because they are a band together. Mm-hmm. Union Station, I mean, one of the great, they're so good.
Another musician she shares a birthday with, Slash, is 60. Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver. I don't think a lot
really
of people,
good guitar player.
I don't think a lot of people realize Slash is also a very good songwriter. He's a songwriting credit on all of their hits. and underrated, like, I know I'm going to tick some people off here. I don't care. Guns N' Roses kind of held him back, actually.
I agree.
Like, he never really got to... now you've gotten to see what he can do on the guitar. But he is so much more than three chords.
Yeah.
That basically all he got to do with Guns N' Roses. Where he is way better than that.
He's also...
And I got to play Slash. Yeah. I got to play Slash in my old classic rock days.
Nice. That's great. I have to say, also very intelligent and extremely funny. In interviews and stuff, he's actually very clever. I like him in.
He's a great interview.
Yes, he is.
Woody Harrelson is 64.
Ooh,
one of the most versatile actors of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it may sound silly to some people, but you go ahead and look at his IMDb page. You look at the credits he's had. He's an Oscar nominee. He's he is so much more. And I am loving him and Matthew McConaughey. I have no idea what they're advertising, but McConaughey and him have been doing like a series of commercials together. And I don't know what they're advertising, but I love them. I cannot get enough of them. Woody Harrelson in True Detective is some of the best work you will ever see in a TV show. Mm-hmm. It is top five greatest acting you will ever see in a TV show. Woody Harrelson in Cheers is a top 20, top 50 role performance in TV. And that's not even talking about his movie career.
Yep.
Love him. Let's see here. And some people no longer with us. Not going to mention him. Philip Seymour Hoffman, I will, though.
Aww.
One of the greatest actors of his generation.
Yep.
One of the most strongest performers. You want to? I could ramble about him. Listen to Bill Burr talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay,
I've never heard of. I don't know if I've ever heard an actor or a comedian talking about an actor this way. He talks about him like he was, Beethoven, he really, really like talk. And it's all in the Bill Burr style. It's all in his way of speaking and everything.
Yeah.
And to hear a guy like him be awed by somebody is really interesting, and it's beautiful. It's really cool.
I had to look him up. I didn't remember who he was, but yes, I loved him in Twister. The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. What a career. So Capote, probably his.
Capote is
probably one of his most famous roles, yeah.
Watch a fun movie. I think an interesting movie, I should say. Punch Drunk Love. Not only do you get to see Adam Sandler like you've never seen him before, and the reason I say that Adam Sandler is a complete actor, but you'll see Philip Seymour Hoffman like you haven't seen him before. And it's a great performance by him. I didn't know he had that in him.
That's awesome.
Yeah, either one of those actors. Mm. It's a good one. One more time, happy birthdays to everybody out there celebrating. Happy anniversaries, everybody.
Yes.
I don't know, you guys. I can't think of a better way to celebrate than with El Cafe.
I agree.
That's good.
Rainy day calls for pie. That's what it calls for.
Get inside.
And they have Death by Chocolate right now, James.
I got to go. We will.
And lemon meringue, Seth.
Lemon meringue is good. Very tasty.
Okay, so just Melissa will be back when we come back.
It's
just
on her own
when she comes back. She's got this.
Sabotage myself.
Don't. Be back with more show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at 97.5 FM WFHR.
End of the spring, and here she comes back.
Hi. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. I probably should have played Heat Wave. I probably should have came in with that.
Would be appropriate.
I hadn't thought about that one for the bumpers, but that would make sense.
Another heat dome is setting up shop and bringing high temps to much of the U.S. So Google looked at the top heat wave questions our fellow Americans have been asking, thrown into the Googler machine.
Googler machine.
You know, you just pick them up, throw them in there, see what happens.
That's how that works.
That's what I do. Yeah. Here are the top five questions, where heat-related questions we've been thrown into the machine. What temperature is considered extreme heat? That's our first question. There's not one single definition. 95 wouldn't be seen as extreme in Phoenix, but it might be in other cities. So it depends on local
officials. You got to know about humidity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah. And what your regular temperatures usually are and that sort of thing. Yep. With the average temperatures.
What you're acclimated
to. Exactly.
The next question, why does extreme heat make you tired? Your body has to work harder to maintain its normal temperature. It can also make you toss and turn so you don't sleep well. Mm-hmm. And just being dehydrated can make you tired, too.
Yes.
Wada, wada, wada.
From experience, I can I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Make your joints hurt, too. Oof.
How do you prepare your body for extreme heat? I think that's a very good question.
That's a good one, yeah.
Again, wada, wada, wada.
And first up, make sure you get you make sure you go into it well hydrated.
There you go.
And keep drinking fluids to stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's how that works. Oh, I gotta write that.
It's not just a one and done, James.
Yeah, I gotta write this down. Keep drinking. Now, I had water like years ago.
And you got to be careful because I remember I got severely dehydrated once while I was swimming. Which seems counterintuitive, but that is very true. Because I wasn't ingesting water, you know.
I hope not.
Well, no.
You shouldn't drink the water you're swimming in.
No, it was a lake, too. So, you know, but because I was outside. No.
That ain't right, and I feel for you, and I'm glad you're okay. That said, that is the most Seth story I've ever
heard. Isn't it, though?
Right?
Yeah. I'm swimming in water, and yet I'm dehydrated. Oh, my God.
Just want to be there for a second. We can't skate past that right away. It is so important to keep hydrated.
Yeah.
You know, this is why you see bicyclists with a water bottle like on the bike. And I also will extend this to when you're taking walks with your pets, bringing a little water bottle or something just in case they need it as well.
Or you could be like a few people I see at like the gym. And our own Mike Comer, by the way, he did this. He brought it in the other day. Just a gallon jug full of water.
Yeah.
Just carry it around with you. I don't think Mike would mind if I mentioned that. But
I love that.
No, it's smart.
It is.
Bring enough water. You need it.
I don't know that I've ever met somebody that does that I didn't like, that I didn't get along with. I know a lot of people
that's
do
right.
that. Number four, does hot weather affect type 2 diabetes? Very important question.
Ooh, yeah, and, that is a good question.
And yes, it does. People with diabetes get dehydrated much more easily. Mm-hmm. And being dehydrated raises your blood sugar, which makes you need to go more, number one. And so you get more dehydrated. And he can also mess with your insulin levels. So you might need to test your blood sugar more often.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. I did not know any of that. That's very important.
Until spending time with somebody with diabetes and everything, I would have never understood everything that it takes to get through an hour with diabetes, let alone a day, a week, a year, a life, or anything like that. And I don't think that anybody would want me playing a violin for them necessarily, but I personally admire it. And I think there's a lot more empathy that needs to be had for that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we've normalized so much of it doesn't make it any easier.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, people living with chronic medical conditions or illnesses, it's a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, is hot weather bad for pregnancy? Yes, again. Your body already has to work harder to control your temperature when you're pregnant, and it's harder to stay hydrated, too. Pregnant women have a higher risk of heat stroke and heat exhaustion.
You've got a nice little oven.
That's why they say a bun in the oven,
right? That little heat creator. And Beth always jokes about, you know, being pregnant in the wintertime where she finally wasn't cold, because both times.
That's funny.
At the end of her pregnancy, she was in the wintertime in February. So,
I think I use this term a bit and everything about normalizing things. I don't know that there's anything we've normalized more in society than pregnancy.
Agreed.
Which is as much as we don't understand still about pregnancy. It's really remarible. It's really amazing.
I mean, it's the continuation of us as a species, and I don't think that there's enough appreciation out there for it.
I agree.
Yeah,
100%.
What women go through.
Absolutely.
And the toll it takes on a woman's body to have a baby, to grow another human being.
Seriously.
We just we don't give it enough. We just don't give it enough.
Along with the fact that we don't give them their own rights.
As well.
I think that's an important one. That's
abortion is women's health care. It's not about killing babies. Abortion is women's health care. I will say it till I'm blue in the face.
What are visible heat waves called is another one that just barely missed the top five.
Okay.
What are visible heat waves called?
Okay.
Meaning
the waves you see coming off half pavement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or other hot objects. Yeah.
The most common term for those are heat haze or heat shimmers. Oh, heat shimmer.
Shimmer. That sounds cool.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good band name, too, by the way.
It sounds cool? No, it sounds hot.
Yeah. That's hot. And it's also Mirage. Mirage is
you're not actually seeing anything.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen a mirage? Have you ever seen where you really think you're seeing something?
No, I don't think I've ever had. I had the pleasure. I don't know if it's pleasurable or not, but
I did.
Oh no,
I did, but it wasn't. It wasn't anything like long, or it wasn't like in the cartoons or anything like that. Or anything. It was very disappointing.
The oasis in the desert.
Very very disappointing. It was not.
And this
fun
is
at all.
Why James doesn't like mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You finally figured it out.
I'm totally kidding.
That's great. That was perfect.
Nice.
We'll be back after what? Oh, I got distracted. Sorry. Wait, we'll be right back after this morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. This is a fun song.
I didn't know until I was watching the video. There's that sound. He's literally blowing into a jug. One of the guys is blowing into a jug. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the weirdest, but it's got to be in the top five of weirdest videos of all time. If you have not seen the Mungo Jerry in the summertime video, I don't know if I can tell you to watch it because I don't want to scar you. But you haven't seen Mutton Chops.
The lead singer of Mungo Jerry has some of the most impressive hair and facial hair that you are ever going to see.
I'm pretty sure they're the greatest Mutton Chops of all time.
Very close.
I feel very confident.
That's
very close.
Terrifying.
Yes, it is. It is the weirdest video ever.
It's great, though. I love it.
And it makes no sense with the song. No. It's one of the happiest songs I can think of, and the video is just weird. It's not a dark video.
No, it's just odd. Yeah.
70s. Quirky. Yeah, quirky. We didn't know what to do, you know, and there's nothing
just
else.
Figuring out what videos are, you know.
I don't know what city they filmed it in, but I imagine that it was a more popular
one.
Yeah, it was definitely hot,
it
too.
Was.
A new survey revealed which of the 50 most populated cities in America is our favorite.
Okay.
And I'd like to take some guesses from you guys and from the audience out there, 715-424-2600. You're just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app. Keep in mind, you can text us through the app as well if you're busy or got your boss over your shoulder or something like that. Go ahead and feel free to reach out to us. What is your America's favorite city? Now, you can look at this as your favorite city, but I'm looking at it more of what Americans, fellow Americans, would think, what we would say.
Okay.
So you got any guesses, you guys?
I'd say New York.
Nice.
Probably at the top of the
list. Yeah. Boy, favorite city. I'm going to have to go. We're going to go with kind of a theme here today. We're going to go down south. We're going to go to Louisiana. We're going to go to New Orleans.
I like both of those.
I'd say Nashville would be another one.
Yeah.
I like all of those.
Yep.
And it's Nashville.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Good job, Melissa.
There we go.
Baby.
For Melissa. Yep.
Nashville.
Melissa nailed that one. Okay. Nicely done, Mel.
Second guess, but you know.
We'll take it. We're good putting it in. Nashville is followed by a three-way tie between San Diego, Colorado Springs, and Virginia Beach.
Colorado Springs?
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
I have been to Colorado Springs. Okay. The only thing of note there is Pikes Peak. There's a big mountain there, which is cool.
The mountains are beautiful there.
They are, but there's nothing. Colorado Springs doesn't have anything else. Maybe they've gotten better in the last 20 years. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been there.
There's stuff all around there. I don't know. I think that's a really cool spot.
Yeah, I think Boulder would be more interesting. Yeah, and if you're going to a city in Colorado. I've been to Denver, too, which is pretty cool. Denver's cool. I like Denver, but yeah.
I spend a decent amount of time in Leadville.
I don't even. Where is that?
That's interesting.
Somewhere in Colorado.
Somewhere. Okay.
All right. I had to find out. So coming in at number five is Charlotte, North Carolina, followed by Denver, Raleigh, North Carolina at number seven, San Antonio at number eight. Detroit has the lowest favorability. San Antonio number eight. Then Detroit has the lowest favorability, followed by Oakland and Bakersfield. It's also worth mentioning that Raleigh beats out Nashville when it comes to Americans who have actually been to the city, that they're saying in these stats and everything.
There are some cool – I have to say North Carolina's got some really interesting cities to visit. I don't know about Charlotte because I don't think I've spent much time there, but I've been to Asheville. That's a gorgeous city. Winston-Salem, that area is very cool, very historic. Lots of really cool stuff there as well. That's where Krispy Kremes are from, by the way. And Raleigh, I've heard, is also very cool. So, yeah. Yeah,
well, and that area is still trying to recover from the hurricane that hit
a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't even a couple years ago; it was like a year ago.
Was it that? Has it been that recent? Wow.
Yeah.
Timing is off.
There's been like a number of different surveys we've done, and almost every one of them seemed to bring in the Carolinas in one way or another.
Yeah, it's a really. I mean, it's the physical beauty there is really. I mean, because you have mountains, right? You know, they're not as big as the Rocky Mountains, but there's the mountains there and some gorgeous, you know, forested areas there. It's a really, and you got the coast, you know, right there, some great beaches. Yeah, North Carolina is really nice.
Chicago comes in at number eight. Nice. And Minneapolis finishes in the top 20, and Milwaukee finishes in the top 30.
Okay. Hey, very nice.
Not bad at all.
I like visiting Milwaukee.
I love Milwaukee.
Yeah, me too.
I love Milwaukee. Madison's.
I've only really been to the airport.
Okay. Yeah, you need to go downtown in Milwaukee. Yeah, it's great.
There's so much to check out. Yeah, there's so much to enjoy.
Is that where the domes are?
No, the domes are outside of town.
Yeah.
They're part of the metro area.
But that's where.
Yep.
We did go to those when I was a kid, and I thought those were absolutely fabulous.
They are. The domes are cool. They are very cool.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time in Milwaukee. I've been to the rave a couple times. I've been to a couple brewer games. But I think my favorite part is just bopping around the city.
Yes.
I just like the city.
Yeah.
I like the area.
The little bridges crisscrossing the river there. It's really cool. Yeah.
I'm a city kid by heart, so that's where I'm going with these. Because, you know, I own that. For me, Madison is always going to be not only nostalgic to me, but so much of everything I love about the Midwest in general is in Madison. I feel like you've got a little bit of everything in that city.
That's very
in
true.
That area.
Very true.
I've always said if I had to live in a city, I could handle Madison.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Yeah, I'm not saying it's necessarily my favorite city in Wisconsin, but it is way up there. Everybody knows my favorite city in Wisconsin. Come on, Sheboygan.
Have you ever been to Sheboygan?
Once.
Okay.
I was.
At least you can say that.
No, I was so little, man, and I was asleep in the car, and I don't even remember.
So he has no recollection of actually being there. But
it's even odder because I never sleep in the car. Like my whole life, I've never been able to sleep when traveling. For some reason, I was sleeping there when we were going on this. I think it was to Green Bay. I think we were going on a field trip to Green Bay or something. Yeah. And went. Yeah. But I love you, Sheboygan. Love you.
Sausage capital of the world.
What is when it comes to lists like this? I think it's kind of fun to be able to take a step back and look at like what's a city that you would like to take somebody to, or you think a lot of people haven't been to that you think they would really like. I really do think that there's a like Northern Illinois has a lot of that. I think most people they're just looking at Chicago. I think that you look at some of the parts of Northern Illinois that has some really cool parts to them. And DeKalb is one of those, and the middle of California. I'm not talking San Francisco. Or Oakland or any of the big or Los Angeles and down south or anything like that. And you get into the middle and Santa Barbara is one of the most beautiful cities you will ever
walk in.
That's
what I've heard.
It's incredible. Carpinteria, I think, has a lot of charm to it, too. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple.
I want one trip that I think would be really fun and cool is to do the Great Lakes tour. Like all five Great Lakes, go around them and visit all of the cities on there, even in Canada and everything. That would be a very fun trip because there's some really cool places to visit.
Niagara Falls.
Yep. I've been there. Everyone should see Niagara Falls. That's really cool. I mean, it's just awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
I will say, if you haven't spent time, especially anybody from the Midwest, Cleveland is a great one.
Cleveland's great. Love Cleveland. It's a fun thing. I want to go to Toledo. Because
you did say that.
We got the visitor's guide on the way back from Cleveland. And I'm like, wow, Toledo's got some great stuff. I want to go to Toledo, man. They got the Mud Hens.
They got the classic
baseball team. The Mud Hens still playing there. So, yeah.
That's so funny. I would like to go to a big city with somebody.
Yes.
It's more fun that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
I love doing that. Anybody that ever wants to go to, hasn't been to Chicago much or something like that, let me take you. I'll show you that city. And you'll be safe.
I would recommend it now. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. D.C. now. And visit the Smithsonian before it sucks.
I really would like to do that.
Mm-hmm. my daughter could not stop raving about that when she was living out there.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Yeah.
The perfect person to show me around D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Our very own Laura. Yeah, she is very familiar with that area from having lived over there.
And that is very true, yes.
Previous years.
So, there you go.
That's my travel buddy to D.C.
I can show you around Duluth, Melissa, but you already kind of know Duluth because your brother lives there. So
yeah, I'm very familiar.
You're very familiar with that, you know,
that's kind of you, Seth. I want you to show me Toledo, man.
Yeah. Once I visit, I'll let you know.
Road trip. We'll do a road trip, and we'll just keep doing the show, but wherever we stop.
Wherever we stopped,
we'll do the morning show
from
there.
That would be fun. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. I'll just check with Sage if we have that in the budget. He's a laughing emoji.
Laughing emoji. Ha ha, you're funny.
And another laughing emoji. Okay. All right. That'd be fun, though.
Why would you go to Ohio? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I love the idea that we pull this off. We actually get the green light to do it, and we're going to Toledo.
The City of Glass. That's what it's called, Glass City, because they had a lot of glass factories there.
He's buying stations in the Midwest. Maybe we can convince him to branch out to Toledo.
I love it. Just a complete jump. Yep.
Jump over Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, to Ohio.
We're putting together a pie chart. We're going to go ahead. We have a presentation for him. I love it. I love this. Yes, we're
doing that. You should be in Toledo. That's right.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that day.
Why we should be in Toledo.
Yes.
Get it right, man.
Okay. I did want to mention our great friends over at the Historic Point Boss. They have a wonderful event going on this weekend. The Civil War Days. It'll be going on July 26th and 27th. This will be happening over at 3064 Wakely Road in beautiful Nakusa. Be sure to check this out, everybody. It's going on Saturday from 10 to 4 and then on Sunday from 10 to 3. You can find out more by going to historicpointboss.com. Encourage you to do that. Bookmark that page. And if you would like to go yourself, well, Mike Hintner was nice enough to give me 4 tickets.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got them right here. Give us a call at 715-424-2600. Or you can go ahead and text us or call us through the Civic Media app.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Call up. Get these 4 tickets. And we'll meet you at the Historic Point Boss this weekend for Civil War Days. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show.